some pictures that were online highlighting that. A couple things with the Ministerial Association upcoming with the holidays in mind, and one of those begins this week. Remember, we have a community-wide Thanksgiving service the week of Thanksgiving, and it bounces around from church location to church location. Last year was our year to host Thanksgiving. This year it is at St. Paul's UCC at 6:30 p.m. this Tuesday leading into Thanksgiving week. And so all other area churches are invited to this as well. We are invited to that. I will be there this Tuesday, November 26th at 6:30 p.m. to just take part in Thanksgiving together as a community of Bellevue, knowing that there's a reason to give thanks, a giver to give thanks to. And so we'll do that together as a community this Tuesday, 6:30 at St. Paul's UCC Church. A first-time event is taking place after the Christmas parade on Thursday, December the 5th. There's an idea to do a live nativity, and one of the pastors in the Ministerial Association is putting those details in arrangement so that Thursday, December 5th, after the parade at Central Park, there's going to be a live nativity with some animals and petting zoo kind of format. I'm going to be one of the shepherds in the live nativity, and there's a couple other parts of shepherds and angels as well that are open. If you would like to take part in that, talk to me after the service, and I can get you paired and coordinated with the coordinator for this event. But just be mindful of that. Thursday after the Christmas parade in downtown Bellevue at Central Park, there will be a live nativity to take part in to remember the Christmas season. And also that same week is our annual Lunch with St. Nick event at the Rec Center, the community center here in Bellevue, from 11 to 1 o'clock. This is perfect for preschool age kids or elementary school age kids. It's a free lunch provided, and then there's just fun stations to go around and interact and be reminded of part of the truth of Christmas. Saint Nick there will point us closer to Jesus as we go through those different stations. So all these events put on by the Bellevue Ministerial Association, which makes up different churches in this community of Bellevue, and so be mindful of that with the holidays upon us. Last but not least, one of our annual traditions, Thanksgiving Day, is the Turkey Bowl. And so if you want to take part in a backyard football game from 9 to 10 o'clock, we usually play the game. After that, we eat a couple donuts, and we just talk about what we have to give thanks for. That's in the backyard of the church, Thanksgiving Day, beginning at 9 a.m., just two-hand touch football with that at hand. That was plenty of time to catch your breath, right? We are going to allow our age-appropriate worshipers. Wiggly worship remains in here on Singing Sunday, but our wee worship, which would be our preschool age group kids, are dismissed with Mrs. Jump in the back. And so if you're a preschool, as you're being seated, I want to allow to come forward one individual that I want to announce, but you've seen his face around here. Jesse Gerhart is one of those that is beginning to discern and feel the call into ministry. He is a high school senior at South Central High School. Can you believe a school? We've got another Trojan in the audience. That's why I say that. Jesse is a senior at South Central, and he's beginning to explore what is God's calling for his life. And he thinks it might be ministry or music ministry of some sorts. And so we've given Jesse different opportunities around here. Just last month, as a part of World Communion Sunday, Jesse helped with some of the liturgy around World Communion Sunday. And today he's getting his first opportunity to preach. We're giving him the impossible task. A five-minute sermon, we said, Jesse. Is that not an impossible task to have a five-minute sermon? But Jesse, about a week and a half, gave me the honor of my profession, asking to job shadow me for a day. And I told him, as a part of that job shadowing, I said, Jesse, bring with you your favorite Thanksgiving passage. He had no clue what he was going to do with it. I just told him to do it. He did it. He brought his favorite Thanksgiving passage, and as a part of that job shadow day, we worked and prepped on a sermon for Thanksgiving in mind that Jesse would deliver. And so this is that sermon of his favorite Thanksgiving passage with Singing Sunday in mind. So make Jesse feel welcome as he comes forward to deliver his first sermon. We are going to pray over this young man, and he's going to deliver God's word to us today. Dear Lord, we're just grateful for the way that you work in lives. Whether our lives are behind pulpits or in pews or a variety of places that you put us, Lord, we are at work in ministry, at work for you. And we give you thanks for the ways that you call us and gift us and equip us to do that. I just pray for Jesse today, Lord. It's a big step for a high school senior to stand up front here and to deliver your word. And yet, Lord, I just thank you for a heart that's willing to do that. And I just pray for in that heart, Lord, and the butterflies in the stomach and the sleepless nights and all that goes through the making and manufacturing of a sermon in this moment, that you would remind them that it's about you, that you would remind us that you're at work in our lives and that this is your word to us. So help us all, Lord, to have open ears and open hearts for what you will reveal through your word, including in your messenger. We pray this in Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. Give them 5 minutes, Jesse. Give them 5 minutes.
Okay. Hopefully I don't go over. Okay. So, yeah, Pastor Jump said, about a week ago, I got to shadow Pastor Jump for a day. It was awesome. and he told me to pick my favorite Thanksgiving passage. The theme verse I chose is I always mess up this word, Thessalonians 5:18, which is, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There are three phrases in this verse I'd like to highlight. All circumstances, God's will for you, and in Christ Jesus. The first part. This verse tells us to give us thanks in all circumstances, not just the good ones, but also the bad ones. But that also doesn't mean we call the bad good. Joseph is one character in Scripture who is a great example of this. A quick summary of Joseph's life. Joseph was Jacob's favorite, and Jacob even got him a multicolored coat, which made his brothers despise him more, because back then, like, the multiple colors were a symbol of, like, they were expensive. Joseph's brothers hated him because of Jacob's favoritism. So they threw him into a pit and sold him as a slave. Joseph also got framed by his master's wife, and thrown into prison, where he met Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker, who were in prison for offending Pharaoh. Long story short, they both had a dream that God helped Joseph interpret. And later, when Pharaoh's cupbearer was returned to Pharaoh's side, and Pharaoh had a dream, the cupbearer remembered Joseph and told Pharaoh about him. Then Pharaoh had Joseph brought from prison to interpret his dream, which was about a future famine. After interpreting Pharaoh's dream, Joseph was made second only to Pharaoh. Later, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food because of the famine. And later, Joseph's brothers recognized Joseph. They expected him to be angry. But Joseph's response was, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And I want to focus on that last part. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph doesn't dodge the bad. "You intended to harm me." His brothers threw him to a pit and sold him into slavery. Not the best day, right? he points to God, to the good that God worked through the bad to accomplish. "But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Going back to our three points from earlier, the second and third points are that it's God's will in Christ Jesus. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I'll highlight that it says God's will. Like, Paul could have said, "God wishes, like, hopes that you'll do this," but he said, "God's will for you, for you," which is more of a prescription. How do we know what God's will is? Our number one source is the Bible. I'm going to quote 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, yeah, Bible is our only, like, infallible source. Our number two source is our conscience. Romans 2:15, Hebrews 8. God's law is written on our hearts. Also, if your conscience convicts you about something, then it's probably best not to do that. I would also recommend asking God to help guide you. Why should we follow God's will? I would say that this is a lordship issue. Like, are we making Jesus the Lord of our life, or are we trying to make ourselves the Lord of our life? And obviously, we need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. As we get to know Jesus more and more over time, our desires are going to change, and the way we live is going to change. Also, Jesus demonstrates following God's will as well. Matthew 26:39, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And the last part, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus means atoned for. Bringing back the theme verse, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One thing I'll point out is Paul could have just cut out the whole in Christ Jesus part. Like, it could have been, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. So one thing that I think is, I think Paul's trying to make a point that it's like part of being a believer. Like, you need to do that. God's will for believers to give thanks. What are some, and I'll ask some questions for you to think about. What are some blessings that God has given us? What are some reasons that we have to be thankful because of Jesus? I personally apply 1 Thessalonians 5:18 by trying to find the blessings I have even in the worst situations. A song that phrases this in a way I like is "I'm So Blessed" by Cain. And when I count the problems that I see, hope looks all but gone. But when I count the ways you're good to me, you got me counting all day long. Last thing I'll say is gratitude is an attitude. It's supposed to posture us towards God. Gratitude also changes your perspective about things. It's just like the thing we do every first Sunday. You're number one. You're number one. You're number one. So, the last thing I'd like to mention, since Thanksgiving is right around the corner, many times we tend to skip over Thanksgiving to get to Christmas, myself included. But maybe it's a good thing that Thanksgiving is before Christmas, because there's so much about Christmas to be thankful for. The creator of the universe was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, which is definitely not the cleanest of places. And later on the cross, he was pierced for our transgressions and died to save us. And I'll leave you with this question to think about. What are some things you have to be thankful for?